WMFO in Medford, 8:02 in the morning. I'm Mike. I've been here since 7. We'll be here for about another hour until 9. I was going to say something about the women. I'm so used to that. I hope it gets back to that soon. But it'll be Jay, 1,000 Points of Light, coming up at 9. Let me tell you what I played in that last set, and then I'll introduce my guests to you. I started off with Local New Noise from Rob Moss and Skin Tight World. That was just a cool song there called The World is a Playground. The Sins from New York, one of my favorite bands these days. They're on Gem Records, and they do a celebration, kind of a compilation. This is on the latest one that came out last year. It's called Gem Records Celebrates Ray Davies. That was The Sins Killing, a cover of I Need You. The Bog Project was next from 2023. It was a track called Shootout, a single release for them. Bug Path was the second to last song in the set, also from last year. It was called Last Time I Dreamt of You. And just finished up with a cool little power pop song called Round the Bend from the Tubbs. Came out last year as well in 2023 from a record called Dead Meat. I don't understand Dead Meat, and I don't want to. I love the song. Hope you did as well. All right. We've been trying to get these guys here for a little while. They're laughing at me a little bit. I'll turn their mics up, which will help to be able to hear them. It's much easier. I have two folks here from Jennifer Teft and The Strange. The first, of course, ladies first, is Jen Teft. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. And then to her right, we have Sharky.
That's me.
That's you.
Yep.
And your real name is?
Stephen Betcha.
Stephen, thank you for coming in. What do you do in The Strange?
I play bass.
You play bass.
And
brings The Strange.
Bring The Strange and occasional backing vocals.
I like that. So you're one of a couple of newer members.
I am.
To this band.
Yep.
And I know that everybody's so happy with this new configuration.
Yeah.
Let's just give some due to the other two people who aren't here, if you would. Just sort of let us know about them.
Yeah. So we have John Perillo on guitar, who's been with me since the beginning of time. And then our new drummer is Chris Georginas. And he was going to try to be here. He had to drop someone off at the airport at like 4 a.m., but he must have gone home and go to bed.
Yeah, well, I was up an hour after that, so it's very dark and cold out, so that's okay. All right, well, we'll look forward to meeting those guys soon. So the first question I have to ask you, you've had a couple of different incarnations of bands, as I've mentioned, and this one is called .. and The Strange.
Mm-hmm.
Please explain.
Well, if you spend any time in the basement with us, you would understand. No, I don't know. It was just one of those. We threw out a bunch of names, and I really felt like it needed to be something other than the Jennifer Tuff Band because it was so much more of a collaborative effort, you know, that we're all sort of, you know, I bring a song in and it completely morphs and it, you know, with these guys now, and I really wanted it to be something that was really just this song creation.
That reflects the group effort.
Yeah, and we threw out a bunch of names, and I don't know how that...
I don't know. I think we had a whole bunch of names, and
It must have come from somewhere.
I honestly don't.
It was on one of my lists, I think, and strange. I love the word strange. It just has a nice kind of, I don't know, dark, funky meaning to it.
Opens up a lot of possibilities.
And if you meet the band and if you hang out with us long enough, we are definitely strange.
Oh, you guys.
Wonderfully weird.
We have a phone call. And before I get the phone call, I'll just mention that, remember, the strange affects everybody but Jennifer, given the name.
Right.
Just saying, consider that. I'm just saying that I have a phone call. I recognize the number, I think. How do you guys feel about surprises?
Sure.
This is a pretty good one.
Love surprises.
All right, I'm going to assume that I know who this is. Caller, how you doing? You're on the air.
Good morning.
Yeah, I thought it might be you. Do you recognize who it is, Jen?
Is that Lisa?
It is.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's Lisa from Rock Garden Records.
How are you?
Hi. I'm great. Hi, Sharky.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah. And
I'm good. We're good. Todd's here, too. He's just getting going.
Well, this
morning,
is...
everybody.
Hey, morning, Todd.
Well, this is very nice of Todd and Lisa to call. They're calling because, as I mentioned, they're from Rock Garden Records, and that's a new association that Jen Taft and the Strange have. They just signed with Rock Garden Records.
Yeah, ooh, no,
congratulations to you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go.
As you can, like, this has been, it's only been a week or so, you know, since the band met everybody, and I already feel like they're family. They're just so positive and enthusiastic.
Well, look
and
at this.
Excited.
They called you at 8:07 in the morning.
I know.
On a Saturday. What a nice surprise.
I've been here all night.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I'm beyond psyched. And the response we got yesterday after announcing it was crazy. People are really excited. And people I haven't talked to in a long time are like, oh my God, this is amazing. And everybody knows who they are and the great things they're doing. Heard from a lot of the bands that are also on the label, you know, welcoming us aboard. Yeah. So I'm psyched to be part of this group and community and see what we can do.
So for the uninitiated, and this is a question for anybody, what does it mean for an artist to be signed to a record label these days? What happens? How does that work?
We make millions and conquer the world? No?
No, tell us things we don't know.
That is the question of the day, Mike. Thanks for asking. And
sure.
You know, we ask our artists that. I mean, when we met Jen, we knew her, of course, just by her music and her legacy that she's already created, which is, you know, vast and important. And when we talked to her, I mean, we posed that question. You know, what is a record label nowadays?
Yeah.
And I think we've come to the conclusion that it's a consortium. It's a group of like-minded people wanting to make positive change and support each other, while also moving forward on musical identity, musical legacy, musical, you know, aspirations, and sometimes collaborations. And so, you know, much like a garden,
right.
it's a lot of fertilizer, man.
And other plants to help, you know, I mean, that's kind of, you know, and other plants to help the artists grow. We all grow together.
There you go.
Yeah.
Or should I say, there you grow. I did. I did it. I went there.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's fine, Mike.
It's early,
so
guys. All right. So listen, I really appreciate your calling, especially at this hour. This is my first time actually meeting and speaking with Jen, although I told her I saw her perform before. But so excited that they're going to be on Rock Garden, with which I'm working as well, with whom I'm working as well. So this is going to be a great association.
Yeah. Really excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys, Todd and Lisa, anything else to add?
Well, thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, thank you for doing what you do. And we wouldn't be able to do what we do without you and without radio support and the energy that you bring to the local community and your radio folks, the gang of all of you that make all of this happen. It is a lot of the reason why we keep going. And why Jen's in your your studio at 8 o'clock on a Saturday.
Yeah,
because it's important and it's fun and it it brings us all together. So thanks a lot.
Well, you're welcome. I'm glad that all of us in the DJ community, the local community, are we're all doing this because we love it. And the only reason we're here, it's not for us, we're for the artists. So, yeah, we're happy to do it. So, thanks, you guys. Strong coffee. And I'm sure I'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys. Yeah. I'll talk to you later.
You. Have a great day.
All right, thanks for calling in.
See ya.
Bye. Take care.
All right, bye. That was a nice surprise.
They are something else. So nice. They really are.
Salt of the earth, I mean, yeah. Honestly.
Yep, couldn't have asked for a better group of people to be working with.
Yeah, I agree. I talk to them almost every day, so they're really cool. All right, so continuing, we'll get off why it's called The Strange. Maybe we'll have a better idea of that once we talk to you some more. But let's talk about just your history. You've been doing this a long time.
I have.
You know, you're a vet.
Yep. And seasoned, we like to say.
Yeah, seasoned.
Very seasoned, yes.
Strangely seasoned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way that people start out in doing any endeavor that they want to do, it can be tough in the beginning. And I know in the beginning, you know, you went through it. I mean, you were, just to quote something I read, you got your start playing for change, quote unquote, in the subways and streets of Cambridge. You were busking.
I did. I did a lot of that. I graduated college and promptly decided to just busk for change in the subways, making my parents super proud.
Listen, that's tough.
It was. But you know what? There's no better way to sort of get your chops. And it's also, especially in the subway, you only need a couple songs. I mean, your audience turns every few minutes.
That's right.
So when I was, you know, learning songs or writing songs, I didn't need a huge repertoire to do that. And you talk about the origins of The Strange. You want to talk about Strange.
Yes.
Get on the subway at like 6 a.m. And hang out there for a few hours. And you'll find The Strange.
No, what time frame was this? What year?
This was back in the 90s, late 90s, I think. So, and I was living in the suburbs, so I would get up super early, get on the drive into Alewife, park there, and then just ride up and down the Red Line looking for an open spot. Because if you didn't get there first thing, I mean, there's a lot of competition. I don't know if it's still like that, especially like in Harvard Square, Davis Square, Porter Square, all that. You had to get there super early, or it became like a turf war. So,
well, I mean, there are other people there of note that we've heard did the same thing. Do you have any stories of anybody that you saw that we'd know?
You know, back when I first started doing this, there was a whole group of like singer-songwriters, like Kevin So was down there a lot.
I'll give you a hint, Fast Car.
Oh, well, Tracy Chapman. Yeah. Well, I used to actually, I was in her spot. This was after her, you know, she'd already been famous by the time I was doing it.
But okay.
Outside the Brattle Street Florist was her spot. And I did that up above ground in Harvard Square a lot too, which was awesome because people would give me money, but a lot of people would go in and buy me flowers, which was really cool.
Oh, nice.
So that was really nice. But yeah, no, and I bust in the pit in above ground, you know, in Harvard Square too, which was awesome. You know, a couple nights where, you know, all the goth kids or pretend goth kids or whoever they were just kind of hang out there with me. And one night the power went out in the square, and, you know, a battery powered amp, and they for some reason had a whole bunch of candles, and they came around and they made this huge circle of candles around me. It was the only spot of light. And it was probably one of the best busking moments
ever.
That
sounds freaking
great. It was really cool. It was a cool vibe.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. So you mentioned someone who's been with you since the beginning, a guy named John Perillo, mm-hmm. Guitar player. How did you guys meet?
I met John. I was working at a restaurant in Framingham called Ken's Steakhouse. And the bartender there was dating one of John's ex-girlfriends, who he was still friends with. Mm-hmm. And she would come in and hang out at the bar, and I would sing once in a while with the lounge singer that was there at the time. And she's like, "Oh, you should meet my friend John."
Nice.
So she brought him in, and we just met, and we started just doing acoustic duo stuff together, writing and doing some cover tunes, and then just built it up from there in all the different incarnations.
So you played all around the circuit, like around Cambridge and Boston and stuff.
We did, yeah.
And pretty soon, within that time period, you put out your first record, mm-hmm. With a different rhythm section.
Yep. So Phil Antoniadis and Jeff St. Pierre, who I've known forever, and are like brothers to me, and a fantastic rhythm section. I was actually, this is my husband at the time, was good friends with them. I met him through them. And I was nannying for Phil's daughter, I guess, at that
nannying.
Time. Yeah, I was. She was my first baby. And they just came in. I had a bunch of songs that I'd written. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And we just sort of threw stuff at the wall. And it actually got a pretty good response. And still, a couple of my favorite songs are on that album.
Well, you must have done pretty well, because I know that you did have the opportunity to sort of take it on the road.
Yep.
Yeah, with that group of people.
Yep, we did some touring with them, and we also had another incarnation before them with a different bass player and drummer we did a little touring with as well. That was Jim Hollister and Dave Carden. God, this is like lifetimes ago.
Yeah, and what was that like? It must have been like late 90s at this point.
Late 90s, early 2000s, I think. Yeah, it was me in a van with a bunch of guys and just hauling our stuff with a U-Haul trailer. Around, you know, the Northeast. We went out into, like, I think we got as far out as, like, gosh, where did we go? Like St. Louis or something that far west, and came back. Lot of fun, lot of funny stories, and just, you know, a lot of McDonald's.
Well, nutrition first, you
yeah.
know. So, you did actually release a record back then. What's the writing process like? Is it you that does some demos and brings them to the band and, hey, what do you think, guys? And then you put it together. Is that pretty much what happens
now or back then?
Then
well, it was kind of a combination. So the first album was all songs that I had written, and then
Dig
we
this
arranged.
Thing.
Yep, we and arranged. The second album, called B-Sides, was all collaborative with the band I was working with at the time, which was Jim Hollister and actually Jason DeWard, different bass player, who was from Somerville. And we wrote all those songs together. And then from then, a lot of it was me and John writing for Shift, and or me bringing a song and arranging it. And from then on, it was pretty much me bringing the songs and us arranging them together. And now, you know, finally getting back to writing songs as a band in the basement again.
Yeah, which, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, and the energy and the creativity and the chemistry is just kind of off the charts right now. So every time I go up to, we call them the pee break songs. I go up and go to the bathroom and I come down and I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
Let's record that.
We just have to make sure we have record going.
Yeah,
know, on
all
somebody's
the time.
Phone or somebody, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And you didn't have that way back then.
Not so much. Originally, when John and I first found Jim and Jason, our original drummer and bass player, we would write as a band, and that's where the B-sides, all the songs from that came from. But it's really been a long time since I've been sitting in a room with people and we just throwing stuff around and making stuff of it. And one of the songs off this new album that we've got literally happened in the basement like a week or two before we started recording, and we're still writing it when we walked in the studio and stuff, and that it's one of my favorite songs on the album. So
that's yeah. Cool. So it sounds like the writing process from way back then till now is pretty similar. I mean, you know, more maybe of a group effort now.
I'm hoping for that. You know, I mean, there'll always be like one of us, and you know, Sharky brings a lot of riffs to the practices, and we kind of build off that. John brings some stuff, you know, like things that he's had forever that we'd like to work on. And then I'm sure there will be me sitting there with my guitar writing something and bringing
sure.
it and being like, this sounds like a little folk song, but let's make it a rock song.
Right.
So are you and the rest of the band, I hear a lot, you know, I talk to a lot of artists, and all of them have a little notebook, and some of it goes back like 20 years.
I have
tattered
a zillion.
Pagers. Yeah.
Zillion
and it's
notebooks.
Like unfinished things, and you just go back and flip through them, and sometimes you find gold years later.
And the phone, too. I have probably thousands of voice notes where I'll be in my car or whatever, and I'll just do something into it. And then, you know, I'll go through it every couple months. And I'm like, wow, what the heck was I thinking there?
And also, don't forget a bag of cookies.
Bag of cookies. Oh, I do write notes on cookies, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the notes go everywhere.
Well, you know, the sugar is going to help you. That's the thing I'm going to say out loud.
Well, I wanted to make sure
cookies are cookies.
Could find the notes again, because we were in rehearsal. We had a bag
you
of cookies
down there. You
follow the crumbs. So I wrote it on the bag of cookies, knowing I would definitely...
On the back of cookies?
On the bag.
Oh, okay.
So I knew I would go back for that bag of cookies at some point and find those notes. So.
Jen, that's hilarious.
I know my weaknesses.
I so appreciate that, because I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit that to the world right now.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's build on the success of that first record. You actually got four more albums out.
You know. So, yeah. What is this? Yeah, that this will be our sixth.
It was on a label that you started, Gypsy Spin.
Yep, that's been my label since the beginning of time. I think I had some aspirations way back when of making it a real label and bringing other bands on, and then I realized just how much work it really was.
Note to Todd and Lisa.
Yes, exactly. And if you want to have time to actually make music, you can't really be spending all your time putting out other people's music. So it's just been my thing and my publishing company, just sort of a business entity.
So Gypsy Spin, any particular spin to that name? Do you consider yourself to be gypsy-like?
When I was a kid, like a little kid, I used to dress up as a gypsy for Halloween every year. So I have 10 years of Jen trying to look all hippie gypsy-like. But no, I think I just liked the way it sounded.
Yeah, okay.
And, it kind of gives different meanings for different people. I don't know. I don't have any real good story for it.
All right. Well, I have some good things to say, because all of those efforts really paid off, you guys. I mean, all five of those releases, and I did a little bit of research, they've received some critical acclaim. So that's pretty good. I mean, let me just go through a few things, because I like to see people blush at 8:20 in the morning. New England Music Award nomination for Best in State, kind of recently in 2019.
I think so, yeah. It was a couple of years ago.
That's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one. You got a nomination from the prestigious Boston Music Awards, Best Female Vocalist.
Yep.
Big deal.
It was.
Yep. Pay attention, listeners. This is who these guys are. You also had a Boston's Best Unsigned Band nod from all the local press around. Yep. And New England Music Awards, you won Female Performer of the Year in 2021.
It was the year I couldn't go to attend, of course, right? it was parent weekend at my son's school, and it was his freshman year. I'm like, I had to go.
You gotta go.
I had to go, and I was like, I'm not going to win anyways,
Well, of course.
Just on a whim, I texted my friend Monk Duane, and I'm like, I know I'm not going to win, but on the off chance that for some reason something crazy happens, could you accept the award for me?
That's what happened?
He sent me a picture later. He's like, look what you did. And I was like, of course, because I'm not there.
All right, here's a typical DJ question. How did that feel? Because you said you didn't think you were going to win. You won. How did that feel? I mean, let me just remind everybody, Female Performer of the Year. That's a big deal.
I was really surprised, honestly. I was happy just to be nominated. And, I've been doing this a long time.
I mean, people are noticing. That's what's happening.
Yeah, no, it gives you a certain amount of bragging rights and credibility, I guess. I've been doing this a long time, and I don't typically win those type of things, and I've been kind of quietly doing my thing for the last 20 something years,
right?
And it was nice to know that people were paying attention still.
You go. All right, just a couple more comments about the accomplishments. So your projects, you really work hard, because you were able to get your songs nationally on television shows. How does one go about? It must be endless phone calls and emails.
Well, I was lucky enough back in the late 90s, early 2000s to get in early with a boutique sync licensing company called Heavy Hitters. They were out of New York at the time, and they only signed a certain amount of people, and they worked you really, really hard. And so we did really well for a while there, and then they sold it to someone out in L.A., and it got bigger and has gotten bigger since then, so it's gotten harder and harder. I actually took a course to try to do it myself, and to be honest with you, it is impossible. I mean, it is so much time.
I would think so, yeah.
So much time, so much emailing and phone calling and researching the music supervisor, because they want you to know everything about the show. They want you to know everything about them, and it's a tough business. And right now, that's one of the only places artists are making money. So it's become even harder because everybody's pitching now.
Are you still looking to do that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
All right. So I'll just mention a couple. These are very familiar to people. Cruel Summer. CSI, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. MTV. Heard of that one. Stargate Universe. One Life to Live. Young and Restless and General Hospital. That's got to be a real fervent ground for that, the soap operas.
The soap operas were awesome because they're on every day. So you have...
And they need music.
5 days a week you have opportunity. So that was my bread and butter for a long time. Until I think my biggest one, I thought it was Young and the Restless, I can't remember which one it was, got canceled, and I remember where I was when I heard that. I'm like, no.
So this might be a stupid question, But what does that do for you besides earn a living for you? What is, does it get you any notice and career aspirations, growth from being on those shows, or it's just?
I think well, for Cruel Summer for sure, because that was the most recent one. I saw our streams for that particular song go up, and our Shazam numbers.
That's
really,
what I was wondering.
It was really cool to see how many people were Shazamming that song from hearing it on TV.
See?
And yeah. It also, you know, it's like everything. Everything is like a building block. You know, everything you can say, if you can say, oh, this happened, it just helps build up that ladder to hopefully, you know, get you a slight edge above somebody else if they're being considered for, you know, a show or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You know? I wonder if that activity and or notoriety sort of helped you on your touring, because I have a list of bands that you played with. Mm-hmm. How does that work? There's some pretty big ones here. I mean, do you have to reach out and see if they want an opener, or did somebody hear your song? Any good stories about how that happened?
So it's different every time. Sometimes it's a direct connection with the band. Sometimes it's a direct connection with the venue or the promoter. We had a really good relationship with a guy who had a thing going on in Ithaca, New York, which is just kind of random, right? And he loved the album at the time. I think it was Shift. And put us on a ton of shows. And then, you know, when he had a chance to put an indie on a national act for an opener, he would throw it our way, which was a lot of fun.
It must be.
Mm-hmm. Intimidating, too.
I was going to just say that. You're reading my mind. It must be because, well, let me, Aerosmith.
What? That was a bizarre one, yes.
Right?
Yeah. That was a Nemo thing. Remember Nemo?
Yes.
The music conference from we used to have in Boston?
Yes.
We were already slated to be on that showcase for Nemo and at Mamakin, and I got a call like the day before saying they were going to shorten our sets because they were adding another band. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever, that's fine. And they're like, well, I was like, what band is it? And they're like, well, it's Aerosmith. And I was like, yeah, right. And they're like, no, they want to play for the conference at their venue. And I'm like, okay, I guess we'll let them. And then not only did they want to play, but they wanted to play right before us. So technically, Aerosmith opened for us.
Yeah, well, you know, you could say that.
And it wasn't intimidating at all to go on stage after that.
and I know it's different every time, as you said, but there's got to be, I mean, does the band that you're opening for care/know that you're there, offer to have a drink with you and say, hey, welcome, glad you're here, or is it really just business? It
totally depends on the band.
Yeah,
so when
yeah.
we did the Ithaca thing, I think it was with Quiet Riot and Warrant, we weren't even allowed in the green room. In fact, after our show, we were thrown out into the parking lot.
Really?
We were out there, like, you know, changing our clothes in the parking lot and our gear and everything, you know, in between their tour buses. But then afterwards, like, we did actually get to sit down. I think it was the guys from Quiet Riot and hung out with them for a little bit. It depends on the band. I mean, some of them remember what it was like to be, you know, a small working band, and some of them have forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah, it's happened to me before, too. Same thing, you know. My band opened up for Warrant at Narcissus in Boston.
I remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they didn't like us in the green room. Mm-hmm. We belonged there, but they didn't like us there.
Yeah.
You know, so they wanted us to go in a different section. And it just really depends on the band.
Wow.
Yeah, it really depends on the band, you know.
All right, so let's sort of move the conversation to... because we've mentioned some of the bands you've played with, you would think that there's some thought about the bill that you're going to be on and the type of music, and it would be a good match. So let's talk about influences. We talked about that a little bit, and you gave me one in particular that, you know, makes a lot of sense given when we hear your music, we hear what it's like. And do you remember who you told me it was? Because sometimes it's different every day for somebody.
My
Your influence that you told me.
Well, was my tribe? Was that the one?
No. You mentioned one of... Yeah, that was one of them, but...
I don't remember which ones I told you.
PJ.
Oh, Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk about what Pearl Jam, how they influence you. What a great band.
I think it was just... I think it was in college, I guess, when they came out. And I loved the angst and the energy and the rawness of all the emotions. And for me, music is not so much about, you know, getting it all perfect and right. It's about making someone feel something, whether they hate the song mm-hmm. and they want to break something because they can't stand it, or they just cannot stop listening to it and it transports them somewhere. For me, that like 90s, I guess you'd call it grunge, was just very angst-ridden and very, I don't know, fraught with emotion. You know, I love that stuff. You know, it just it really infuses a lot of what I do. I don't write when I'm happy. I tend to write.
Oh,
when
that's
I'm,
a quote right there.
I tend to write when I'm mad or uh-huh. upset, and that's, you know, if you listen to past stuff, people will say that, and you know, I have a hard time writing upbeat, happy songs because I don't feel like sitting down and writing when I'm upbeat and happy, you know.
Well, there was a song that we talked about that certainly fits that description from Pearl Jam, mm-hmm. and I got to watch it when I play it because it's got a bad word in there. But it's just intense as anything. Mm-hmm. Jeremy.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
That was like a harbinger of things to come, wasn't
yes.
it? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you go back and watch that video now.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow.
Yeah, the video's intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
back then it was not like, it was like, oh yeah, that would never, that's a.
Would never happen.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and you look back at that now and you're like, wow.
It happened again Thursday.
I know. And you know, you barely heard about it. It was a blip on the radio.
Yeah.
It's disgusting, actually, how desensitized we've gotten.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, this song really has a lot to say about that particular situation. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to carefully play Jeremy and see if I can bring the volume down when that goes on so the FCC won't hate me. But this is a great example of Jen's, you know, kind of music that influences her. And I think it's really interesting the way that you described why they interest you. It's because of the emotion that they bring, and they certainly do, and the rawness and the imperfections mm-hmm. of them. So if you haven't heard the song in a while, turn it up. This is a great song. This is Jen's influence from Pearl Jam. This is Jeremy. This is WMFO in Medford. Yellow sun. WMFO in Medford, 8:37 in the morning. I'm Mike. I'm here with Jen and Sharky, bass player for Jen Tuft and the Strange. And just heard the one influence we want to get to today. And, you know, I've mentioned it before. As I have artists in here and we get to play their influences and we hear them on these great JBL speakers, especially a song like that that was just so powerful back then and you don't hear it that much anymore. It was good.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
No, you know, it stands up still, you know, yeah. I mean.
Even outside of the reasons that you mentioned mm-hmm. about the content, just what a great performance.
Yeah.
You know, do you find yourself, as an influence, do you find yourself trying to incorporate Eddie Vedder's stuff? You do.
I did, especially when I heard
you mention that guitar, that great ding.
That bass chime.
It's so unique.
Harmonic, yeah. That, and while that song was playing, Tom Sharkey, I remember him like doing this part, you know, and you're watching it and there's spit flying out of his mouth and his hair's all over the place.
That's rock and roll.
And it was all about just what he was, I don't think it was a performance. It was exactly what he was channeling in the moment of the song. And for me, that if you can get to that point on mm-hmm, stage mm-hmm. That's Nirvana right there.
Mm-hmm.
Not the band, the state.
Thank you for the clarification. Do you ever feel like you've gotten there, or it's always something you're gonna
there's moments. It's hard to get there because, you know, I don't know if other performers are like this, but I always have that sort of rooftop chatter going in my brain, like, okay, like, oh, I gotta step on this pedal. Oh, why is that person not paying attention? Wait, where's that person going? You know, like in the audience, or you're kind of watching what's going on. So if you can actually disconnect and get to that state, it really is probably the best drug ever.
Oh, yeah. You know, this is so great because I can tell that you just love this. Right?
I do. I'm really excited. We're just everything. These guys restored my love for what I do.
The new band, the new music, which mm-hmm. we'll get to. You've got a great single out. You've got some gigs, and you've got one tonight, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the one that's tonight. It's in Bellingham at Liz's mm-hmm. Tavern tonight at 7 p.m.
Yep. So I'm from the suburbs, and we actually have a pretty rich music scene out that way, which most people, you know, in the city don't know about. We've got a lot of musicians out that way. And so we have a night of original music, which is tough to find these days, especially mm-hmm. out in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. Three of us from the area, the Electric Aces, who used to rehearse in my basement. So love them.
I hear so much about this basement.
it's really not. It's pretty awful, but we make the most of it. But and
about the size of this room.
It's uh-huh. actually smaller than this.
Yeah, you're right.
And Garden of Heden, which is a good friends of mine, Matt Zajac and Bill
yep.
James and
I know that one,
Tim
yep.
Provost. We've all been in the scene together for a long time and all good friends. Everybody has a lot of mutual respect for each other. And I think we're just going to have a blast tonight. I'm really excited.
I think that'll be awesome. And then again, on Saturday, January 20th, coming right up, also at 7 p.m. at the good old Midway in JP.
Yeah, which I haven't been to in
a lifetime.
I
love that place.
I haven't been there in so
it's
long.
It's so old school.
It is. I hope it hasn't changed. I hope it's
not at all.
Yeah.
Who's on the bill with you there, if you remember?
So Kiev Kostic is putting
good,
the
good
night together.
Good friends of ours.
Yeah, I see that.
Jimbo,
and,
yeah.
I've never actually met Jimbo in person. We've been friends on Facebook, and we chat a lot on Facebook.
He's an awesome dude. He's really into it.
He is. He works his butt off.
Yeah.
I think we're kindred spirits that way.
Yeah.
So I'm psyched to meet him in person. And I'm not sure who the other two bands are. There was a change, and I haven't got confirmation on that yet. But there'll be four bands on the night. We are going on right before Kiev Kostic, probably around 9 or 10 o'clock.
Okay.
So psyched for that. And then we just booked another one. What the heck is it?
Sometime in February.
Yeah, February.
The 24th.
The 24th with the False Positives and Happy Little Clouds.
Oh, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where is that? I can't remember. It's so bad.
That's all right. It's on your website.
It's something Tavern in Somerville.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Tavern at the End of the World?
No. Gosh, I'm totally having a brain fart. I'm so sorry.
No, that's all right.
It's early.
And I have one that's way out in May 11th, also at 7 p.m. at Startline Brewing in Hopkinton.
Yeah, we're going to have to see about that one because that might end up being the time about the album release party, so we're moving some things around, but we'll hopefully stick to that one. Square Root Tavern in Somerville.
Sorry to interrupt.
Thank you.
Yes.
No,
that's
thank
a great
you.
Place.
Yes, so I'm psyched about that. And if we don't do the May 11th one at Startline, that one will be moved because they've been really good to me. I play there a lot, solo acoustic. Great people that own it. Love music, and they're super supportive. So we'll figure that one out.
It's awesome. So go out and see these guys. They're playing out. Mm-hmm. Support local music by going to see the bands. All right, I want to play some music from your catalog. We just heard Pearl Jam, so you can expect to hear, you know, that kind of vibe. I want to play something called My Own, which is from your 2000 album called Shift. And I want to follow that up with Enemy, which is from an album in 2007 called Time is a Thief. Mm-hmm. Talk about those two songs, if you would, before I spin them.
My Own was something I had been playing around with on guitar for a long time. And then I had this little sampler and I just recorded a couple little parts and sent it to the producer. And when that song came together, it's still one of my absolute favorite songs. It just, all the parts of it, just the bass line that my bass player at the time, Jeff, came up with, transformed the song. And it just, it's when we were mixing it, Fran Flannery was doing it out at Longview. I wept.
Really?
I was so happy with how it came out. I just loved every piece of it, and I love playing it.
Yeah, it's a great song.
So it's still in your set?
I think this is probably the first show in a zillion years that we're not playing it tonight because we have so much new stuff. But yeah, typically it's in the set, yeah.
Okay, and Enemy from 2007?
Yeah.
Time is a Thief?
Yep, that one was written about a family member who tends to, you know, have a hard time seeing the positive in things. So it's just a little message to, you know, you can't fight back if you're your own enemy.
All right. We'll hear Enemy. And just before that, we'll hear My Own. This is Jennifer Teft here at WMFO.
No. and you know I've unlocked the door every time it's been closed. And cool love, you can't fight back, you're your own enemy. And stupid love, things aren't always what they're supposed to be. And time enough to push back things to where they're supposed to be. And cool love, you can't fight back, you're your own enemy. You can't fight back, you're your own enemy. You can't fight back, you're your own enemy. You can't fight back, you're your own enemy.
Can't fight back, you're your own enemy. Yeah, that's strong lyrics there.
I think we're a lot of times we're, I know I'm my own worst enemy. A lot of the times that inner voice in the brain.
Me too, trust me. Yes, we could talk more about that. Maybe you'll come to my therapist's office with me.
I'd be happy to.
And we could talk, all right. All right, so we heard some great music there, My Own and Enemy, from Jennifer Teft and Band. And I can hear the influence in there. You know, you guys definitely rock hard.
And
you're certainly continuing that tradition with the new incarnation of the band. We're going to play the new single, Love and War, which is just great. I mean, it's been played for so long. It's been out a while. Huh? When did it come out?
Yeah, we released it in September.
Yeah.
Had hoped to get the album done sooner. But, you know, these things always take way longer than you think.
Well, it's never done, you know. It's
no, always, yeah,
gotta
I know.
Tinker with stuff.
You need someone to hit the off switch and be like, that's it. Yeah. Let's put it out.
So I haven't heard the new stuff, but I've heard that this song, The Love and War, isn't a demonstrative of the stuff that's on the album. Would you say it's similar?
I think so. I mean, songwriting-wise and sonically, obviously it's the same band. That particular single was recorded and produced by my good friend and ridiculously talented Monk Duane. He was amazing to work with, and I love everything about it. It will be remixed to be a little more sonically matched with the rest of the record. So Bob St. John is doing the album.
I was going to say, yeah. Bob St. John, man.
Yeah, he's going to remix it, and you know, we got Monk's blessing on that. It won't like pop out as sonically different. You know, it'll still fit in with the rest of the album. But I think it was a good introduction to us.
Yeah,
as, you know,
I think from there, yeah. it really just the energy just got more intense as time went on, you know. But yeah, definitely a good introduction.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I want to spin that song so everybody can hear it. It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. It's really great. So I hope that you guys, whoever's out there listening, can just put your headphones on or just in a room where you can blast it up. Because
yeah.
This is the new band. This is Love and War. And I want to thank you guys
so much
for coming in so early. We'll have to do it again. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll play next time.
Yeah,
who knows? But definitely go out and see these guys tonight. They're in Bellingham at Liz's Tavern, 7 p.m. this evening. All right, Jen and Sharky.
All right,
thanks
for having
so much.
Thank you.
All right, this is Love and War, everybody. Enjoy. It's Jennifer Teft's brand new single right here on WMFO. What? All right, it's WMFO in Medford. That was Jennifer Taft and the Strangers' latest called Love and War. Isn't that awesome? What a great song. Again, they're playing tonight in Bellingham at Liz's Tavern, 7 p.m. start. Go see them. Support local bands. All right, here at 8:59 in the morning, I'm Mike. I got to get out of here. Jay is in the building. He'll be up next with 1,000 points of lights. I'm going to leave you with just a little bit of automation before he comes on the air. But thanks so much for tuning in. We all appreciate it so much. All right, have a great day, and I'll talk to you next week at 7.
Radio Trouble. WMFO streaming live on the web at www.wmfo.org.
Taxi driver, be my shrink for the hour. Leave the meter running. It's rush hour, so take the streets if you wanna.